Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Totally In. For this week's podcast, it will be short. It is talking about cabbage and chest pain. And you may think to yourself, well, we know chest pain, and we know what cabbages are, so why should I bother listening to this? Well, we're going to talk about how this patient population, the person who recently had a cabbage, is unique and has a different set of problems, potentially, from our regular chest pain patient. And a large portion of this I took from a recent BMJ article titled, Primary Care Management of Chest Pain After Coronary Artery Bypass Surgery. Now, you may stop and think to yourself, wait a second, that says primary care. Why should I care on the emergency department side of this? Well, two things. One is that we know primary care patients tend to come to the emergency department, whether or not they necessarily need to be there. And two, this serves a lot of great reminders that I think makes it worth the time to remind ourselves of this, and it's why it's worth reading this paper. But for those who may not want to read this paper, may not be able to always have access to it, we're going to talk about the five key points. However, before we start diving into that, let's talk about cabbage in general. So cabbage or coronary artery bypass graft surgery is one of the most common cardiothoracic surgeries that you'll see. And it usually involves a number of vessels. There is single, double, and triple vessel disease, but you'll see even the quadruple bypass. And basically, the prognosis depends on LV function as well as the number of vessels involved. And what happens is that you usually do this when there's severe stenosis, so greater than 70% of the left main stem, or there's triple vessel disease. And that improvement in survival is seen particularly in those with poor LV function. Now, the surgery process is basic as far as the general approach, and that is there's a medium sternotomy, so they open up the chest, they dissect the left internal mammary artery, or the LIMA, and then they also may dissect the long saphenous vein. And if you notice, the vein and the artery have different roles in there. The long saphenous vein is great because it's easy to harvest by another surgeon or, for example, like a PA. It allows for multiple grafts to be fashioned, and their patency is 60% at 10 years. The LIMA is also relatively easy to get to, and it only needs to be divided on one end. Plus, the patency rate is 90% at 10 years. It tends to be used to graft the left anterior descending artery. Now, there are some issues, of course, with this, and that is that you can have bleeding, pericardial tamponade, graft failure such as kinking or disconnection, atrial fibrillation, wound infection, post-cardiac function being poor, and stroke. Of course, there's other types of things you may see afterwards, such as just kind of different types of infections like you would with any surgery. But let's talk about the five key reminders, in a sense, that when you have that patient in front of you, what should be going on in the back of your mind, or preferably in the front of your mind, when you're thinking about what to do with this patient. So the first thing, if that pain is sudden or severe, consider ischemia or aortic dissection. Obviously, we're going to be thinking about other things too, but these are two common issues that we run across in patients who recently had a cabbage. So this can be an early graft failure, which is the major reason for resistant or recurrent chest pain after surgical revascularization. Of course, you can have injury to the aorta itself that's leading to dissection. Now, classically, we think of that as a tearing or ripping chest pain that's radiating to the back. That's more the exception than the rule. We're not always seeing that type of patient. In fact, a lot of these aortic dissections, I really like the approach of chest pain plus one now, because that covers a wide variety of things. So chest pain plus headache, chest pain plus numbness or tingling of the lower extremities, chest pain plus whatever that just doesn't add up. And really the aorta would be the thing that connects all that. So keep that in mind, that the patient with aortic dissection may not always present classically, so we need to think about other potential causes. It's worth noting that ongoing smoking is linked to recurrent angina as well. So it's definitely one of those times when you want to ask about the smoking status of patients, because yes, we should be asking anyway, but this may be one where we can help figure out a little bit better, is that chest pain that they're experiencing could potentially be related to that smoking. The next point, this is a little bit different type of chest pain. So if they have localized chest pain along the surgical scar, especially if there's redness or discharge from the site, as well as other symptoms such as fever or malaise, suspect infection. And so the big difference here is more of a localized pain, especially along the scar, versus that sudden or severe chest pain, which may be radiating to places. The one that gets a little more tricky is post-cardiac injury syndrome. So this is a conglomerate of symptoms, and you need at least any of the following two of the five to be present. So fever without another cause, which remember, you can have things like UTI or pneumonia after surgery. There's pericarditis or pleuritic chest pain. Again, one that we can run into quite often for other causes. Pericardial or pleural rub. Realistically, it's hard to hear rubs. And so I guess if you hear that, great, you now know to go down that pathway. Two things that I think are a little bit easier to pick up. Pericardial effusion, because I can use an ultrasound for that and may be able to see something. Or potentially if I were to get other types of imaging, such as CT, you can see pericardial effusion that way. And the other one is pleural effusion on imaging with an elevated CRP. So again, running through all five. Fever without another cause, pericarditis or pleuritic chest pain, pericardial or pleural rub, pericardial effusion, or a pleural effusion on imaging with an elevated CRP. Any of those two, we need to think about post-cardiac injury syndrome. The next point is persistent pain after surgery with a normal evaluation may be attributed to musculoskeletal or chronic chest pain. I would be hesitant to call that on a patient without at least having some further evaluation or some consultation with their surgeon. And actually, to go back for a second, any of these times that a patient's coming in shortly after surgery, we should be talking to their surgeon. And that's true with especially any type of infection or post-op complications. This is not just for the cardiothoracic surgeon. This is if you had the orthopedic surgeon that needs to be consulted because their recent hip replacement now has localized erythema and some green drainage from a slightly dehisced wound. You want to call about that patient. Or if you had someone who may have had a recent hysterectomy and they are now febrile, or they're having lots of pain and they've got symptoms of peritonitis, you know, again, you're going to call the surgeon who did that surgery. So this isn't changed. You have a patient with CABG. Yes, try and find the immediate causes. Do they have a new onset ST elevation and they have an MI that way, or another classic finding that would suggest occlusive MI, because really that's more appropriate than STEMI. Do they have some findings that would be concerning for aortic dissection? Again, that's another emergency, but realistically, you're probably going to talk to that surgeon anyway about those patients. But just remember, it's vital that we reach out to the surgeon to get them on board and to let them know what's going on. So with that persistent pain after surgery, man, if it's related to that chest pain and it's related potentially to that recent surgery, you should still be calling. Most surgeons are going to want to talk to patients and get consulted in right away, even a couple of months after the surgery. So this can be a good way to help ensure that, especially if this pain's been going on for a while and it keeps coming back and they're now bouncing back to the emergency department, maybe because they felt like primary care wasn't doing an adequate job, even though most likely they were, but they kept telling the patient, hey, your workup's negative. You need to do something else. All those types of things are things that we at least need to, again, keep in the back of our mind and remember that we need to get that consult on board early versus waiting a long time and potentially doing either unnecessary tests or tests that could potentially cause problems down the line. Let's say you have that chronic post-op chest pain patient. Okay, you've done the appropriate workup. You've talked to the surgeon. They're not concerned about it. Everything seems to be going okay. This leads to the fifth point. Offer analgesics. Provide education. Discuss lifestyle changes such as, you know, quit smoking. And discuss any sort of behavioral treatment type stuff. All these things play an important role and allow us to be able to take better care of our patients. So again, with these chest pain patients after they've had a CABG, the five big things to remember. If it's sudden or severe chest pain, consider ischemia or aortic dissection. Patients with localized pain along their surgical scar, especially with redness or discharge from the site, or have fever or malaise, suspect infection. Suspect post-cardiac injury syndrome with any two of the following five. Fever without another cause, pericarditis or pleuritic chest pain, pericardial or pleural rub, pericardial effusion, pleural effusion on imaging with an elevated CRP. The fourth point, persistent pain after surgery with a normal evaluation may be attributed to musculoskeletal or chronic post-op pain. And then finally, for those with chronic post-op pain, offer analgesics, education, lifestyle changes, and behavioral treatment. Hopefully this will help provide you as a quick reminder if you run into this patient anytime soon, because most likely some of us are. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.